law declared, because there was 1972. Yeah, they were becoming anti-Ferdinand Marcos. And there was martial law, but Prabhupada decided to pay a visit to the temple or to the Philippines because there was preaching going on. Did you ever go? Really? Yeah. So they held a program, public program, even though you weren't allowed to hold public programs. They held a public program in the biggest hotel in downtown Manila, in the Hotel Intercontinental. And there was a big ballroom there. And in there, I don't know how they advertised, actually, the devotees, but it filled up with interested persons, many Indians, many of the local people. And Prabhupada gave a lecture. And I can't remember what Prabhupada lectured about, but it was powerful. He would sit on the Vyasa Sadhana, he would lecture so powerfully. And then at the end of the lecture, he asked if there were any questions. And one man stood up and he began to ask it was a call for questions, but he didn't actually have a question. He just started rambling on about his own philosophy. No question. And Prabhupada had asked a question, but he just started going on and on about his own philosophy. And the devotees, of course, in those days we were very, very, what's the word?
Protective.
Protective and, yes, and we wanted
militant.
To, yes, that's just fanatical, there's so many words we could use. But we were very strong in our desire to make sure that there would be no difficulties for Srila Prabhupada. So, everyone wanted to come up and stop the man, but we understood, no, watch how Prabhupada deals with this. So the man actually went on, just talking and talking and talking in front of, there was at least 500, 600 people there, all sitting down in chairs, and Prabhupada was sitting there, and he just lectured strongly, and after about 2 minutes, which is really a long time to be just standing in front of and just talking your own philosophy in a situation like that, Prabhupada said, "Are you finished yet?" And the man said, "No." And he kept on going for another 2 minutes perhaps. And then Prabhupada said, "Are you finished yet?" And by this time that the audience was getting really aggravated with this man. They didn't like what he was doing. And he said, "No." And he kept on going on for another minute or two. It was really a long time. And then after that amount of time, he paused and Prabhupada said, "Are you finished yet?" And at that time the audience was completely on Prabhupada's side and everything. So Prabhupada said, "Are you finished yet?" And the man said, "Yes, I'm finished." And Prabhupada said, "Then sit down!" And everyone cheered. He just completely dismissed him. He was so expert. Because just imagine if Prabhupada would have interrupted him at the beginning or something, then everyone would have been on the whole audience, who they weren't devotees, they had come to hear Prabhupada. They would have been on the man's side. "Oh, why aren't you giving him a chance?" But by doing it this way, revealed himself.
Do you remember that incident in, I think it was in San Francisco, in the old Frederick Street Temple? And this one, you know, like, I think he was on drugs or something. Prabhupada was lecturing, and this boy started to become agitated while Prabhupada was speaking. He started to get agitated. More agitated. You could see that he wanted to say something. And then at one point...
No, Mama!
Yes! Yes, yes! She's like the hippie in the back of the room doing her thing. Now, how are we going to deal with this situation? So then
the mother deal with it.
Yeah, right. Better diplomacy. So then, all of a sudden, the boy jumped up, you know, and he said, "Don't you understand? I'm God." And Prabhupada looked at him. He looked at the audience, and he said, "Please accept my humble obeisances." And the whole audience just cracked up completely into laughter. And it just disarmed him completely. He was finished. And he just kind of sat down, kind of looking like he had been, you know, nuked or something. And then he finally just kind of went out. Prabhupada went on with his, you know, rather than confront him. He knew exactly when to confront, when not to confront, when to... He was so expert.
And also in San Francisco, a lot of peculiar things happened in San Francisco in those days.
Yeah.
As described in Prabhupada Lilamrita, someone in the audience was obviously intoxicated, and they began making strange noises. Oh, la la! Strange noises like that. In the middle of Prabhupada's lecture, and someone noted that Prabhupada said under his breath, "It is the greatest darkness."
Yeah.
The darkness. Greatest darkness. Darkness. This is Kali Yuga. It is the greatest darkness is spreading under the guise of so many wonderful things, so many advancements, so much progress, but it's actually driving people crazy from beginning to end. And therefore Prabhupada, he really wanted the devotees to
chant Hare Krishna.
Yes. What else?
Preach.
Huh?
Preach.
Because it would bring light to this very dark period.
What to speak about, huh?
Yeah.
I said that the other day in one lecture, actually something actually came out meaningful, I don't know, of all the things. And there's so many problems in this world. Everybody, every one of us, especially at this time, in this place, in history, we're getting, individually we're feeling the combined reactions of all the things that have happened before us, and it's very difficult, and there's so many problems. And I've had personal experience in my life that is, when the problem gets to a certain level of intensity, and then if you try to help someone else when you're in that at that moment, then automatically your problem just dissolves without separate endeavor. It's the principle. It's like Madhurya and Aurdarya, the Aurdarya principle.
Mercifulness.
Yeah. Just try to help another person, and immediately the self-centered kind of ness goes down, and we can taste something. I think we should have kirtan following from you. What is it?
Yeah.
Would it be off track for that?
Would you like to sing?
I'd like to start tonight.
Then?
Sure, it's inspired.
Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Vikasharine.
Thank you.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Krishna
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jai Subhadra. Jayo Jagannath, Jayo Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe. Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe. Jai Shri Shri Radha Kalachandri, Radha Kalachandri Radhe. Jai Shri Shri Radha Kalachandri, Radha Kalachandri Radhe. Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe.
Sanatan Bhattaragana Shri Gopala Bhattadasyatana Satkoshaya Praying Sivaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Subhunita Ananda Shri Advaita Kithadhara Shri Pasari Gaurabhakta Vindi Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopakopina Shyamkunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanki
Joy
Vrindavan Dhamki
Joy
Mayapurnama Dvipta
Joy
Shri Jagannath Puri Dhamki Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Shri Tosi Devi Bhakti Gop Prem Mane Hari Nam Sankirtan Shri Brihat Bridanga Samabeda Bhakta Vindhi Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru. Gop Prem Mane
There's two verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita that are especially relevant. If you sometimes feel that Krishna is very far away, does anyone sometimes feel like that?
Yeah.
Or that one is so fallen, what hope is there? And we feel hopeless? Well, here's the good news. If a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, once utters the holy name of the Lord, or it penetrates his mind, or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage, whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, and properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. That means if we say ha and re, but and there is some syllable in between, the holy name is so potent. O Brahmana, the verse says, the potency of the holy name is certainly very great. verse continues, although the holy name is so potent. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism. In other words, if one utters the holy name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Implication there is it will still produce it. How potent is the holy name? Niharam iva bhaskaram. Therefore, though, one should diligently, very carefully, avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the other verse. The holy name of Lord Krishna, this is from Padyavali of Srila Rupa Goswami. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly persons, saintly liberal persons. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions. All sinful reactions. Nama vasya haite hai sava papachai. Finish. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions, and it is so powerful that save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandal. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. Simply by touching the holy name with one's tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation. It does not depend on pious activities or the parascharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for these activities. It is self-sufficient. One more. O reservoir, this is from also Bhakti Rasamrita Sundar. O reservoir of all good qualities, just worship Sri Krishna, the purifier of all purifiers, the most exalted of the personalities worshipped by choice poetry. Worship him with a faithful, unflinching mind, without duplicity, and in a highly elevated manner. Thus worship the Lord, whose name is like the sun. For just as a slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of night, so a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away all the darkness of ignorance that arises in the heart due to greatly sinful activities performed in previous lives. In Kaviraj Goswami, what his system in writing the Bhagavad Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says a verse, a Sanskrit verse, and then he gives his own commentary on it, basically, his own purport of it in Bengali, and he explains it in more detail and makes it still more sweet. That which is already very sweet, he enhances that sweetness as it comes from him. And therefore, Srila Narottama Das Thakur said, Krishna Das Kaviraj Rasika Bhakta Maj. He is the greatest of the tasters of the mellows of Krishna consciousness. So we should get his association. Look what he's telling us. What instructions? Where can we get instruction like this? Where can we get encouragement like this? And therefore, I heard Prabhupada, I guess a few days ago, he was speaking and saying in Mayapur, 1975, he was saying that some person has, he was so happy he had this Chaitanya Charitamrita finally to give to his devotees. He was so happy, and he was saying that someone had told me a year ago that I am the right person to translate this into English, and now it is almost done. He was so happy to give this to us. And therefore, this was his pleasure to give this. And therefore, it is our honor and our duty to accept it upon our heads and then open it up. Not only open it up, read it also. Read it just a little bit even. What light is in there?
I have rare privilege of serving Gopi Pradhana Prabhu, who is executing one of Srila Prabhupada's dearmost desires and translating the Goswami's literatures that he wanted, that Srila Prabhupada wanted. When he was asked what literatures he would want to do next, Jai Dvaita Maharaj was in the room. I heard this directly from Jai Dvaita Maharaj. We heard it directly from Srila Prabhupada. We're getting it just one person removed. I wasn't in the room, but he was in the room. And Srila Prabhupada said, the Goswami's literatures. I had always heard Padma Purana or Ramayana or this. I'd heard different things. But actually what Prabhupada responded to that question directly when it was asking him was the Goswami's literatures. And then, of course, he made that very strong statement that we put on the back of the cover of Priya Bhagavatamrita, that if you want to understand anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna must read this book.
Priya Bhagavatamrita.
Yeah, Priya Bhagavatamrita.
This was the first of the Goswami literature.
This is the foundational Rasa Shastra. Because Lord Chaitanya spent more time instructing Sanatana Goswami than anyone else. And so, as Maharaj said the other day, but this morning in class, I think he was saying how the Shikshastakam, they asked Prabhupada, well, where's the Guru in the Shikshastakam? And he said it is there in the Trinada piece in each verse. And then Lord Chaitanya inspired, first instructed Sanatana and Rupa specifically. And then in the verses themselves, it says, and empowered them to realize them and to be able to give them. So this is what we're getting. Sanatana Goswami's essentializing the Bhagavatam, which is already the essential, essentializing the Vedas. So there's a saying in French, the creme de la creme.
That sounds like it's in English to me.
Well, that's because I can't speak French.
Okay.
But anyway, you get the idea. meaning that, you know, the Bhagavatam is the cream of the Vedas, and the Bhagavatamrita is the cream of the Bhagavatam. So it doesn't get much more condensed than that. So we were hearing last night, the Vaikuntha Dutas were instructing Gopa Kumar on the glories of the holy name. And we had just come to just to remind you that they analyzed the difference between the process of meditation and Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, and came to the conclusion that Harinam Sankirtan was actually the topmost devotional service because it is what activates the mind and allows it to meditate. In other words, without the holy name, one would not be able to meditate, period. So after essentializing that, now they're beginning to glorify the holy name. Text 162. When the nectar of the Lord's name appears in just one sense, all the senses are flooded with their own sweet tastes. Commentary. In this way, every enjoyment possible is derived from Nam Sankirtan. Text 163.
Every enjoyment possible.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's read it again. Okay, then you can, the Mahats can further elaborate. When the nectar of the Lord's name appears in just one sense, all the senses are flooded with their own sweet tastes. And the Digdarshini commentary is one line, one sentence commentary. In this way, every enjoyment possible is derived from Nam Sankirtan.
My comment would be that in the context of the discussion, enjoyment refers to spiritual enjoyment. And therefore, the commentary means every kind of spiritual enjoyment.
But then one could also say that that's the only kind of enjoyment, because material enjoyment is not possible because we're souls. So therefore, in every sense, it's the only kind of enjoyment.
Okay. No problem.
I take it that because it's talking about the indriyas, you know, the senses are different than the gross, you know, like the indriyas are different than the gross. They're made of more subtle energy, mm-hmm. right? And it's these indriyas that actually allow us to taste satisfaction. It's not the gross. The gross senses are inert. They can't taste anything. Mm-hmm. You know? So the indriyas are what they're talking about, mm-hmm. and therefore they are talking about every kind of enjoyment. All the different senses become brought to the point of being able to actually be satisfied completely, empowered by contact with the Holy Name. That was my understanding when we were editing it. Text 163. Appearing mainly in the sense of speech, the Lord's name gives pleasure to the chanter and to others. So even greater than meditation on the Lord is his Nam Sankirtan. Text 164.
Nice verse.
Do you want to read that verse? Do you want to read that verse?
Look.
Find it. Text 164. The Sankirtan of Krishna's name is praised as the best and most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna Prema. It is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. Commentary. If one wants the ultimate success in spiritual life, one must take shelter of Nam Sankirtan, as the Vaikuntha Dutas proclaim exuberantly in this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.39.40 describes how Nam Sankirtan nourishes the devotee. Shrimpan Subhadrani Vitangapane Janmani Karmani Chadyani Loke Gitani Namani Tatartakani Gayan Vilat Jo Vijadit Asanga. An intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects such as wife, family, and nation, and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities, which he performs within this world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. evam pritak sa priyanama kirtya jata nurago jutachitta uchchahai hasatyato roditi rauti gayati unmadavan rityati lokapayaha. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then, fixed in one's vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, one gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Lord. As one's heart melts with ecstatic love, one laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes one sings and dances like a madman, for one is indifferent to public opinion. You were going to say something, and I didn't let you say it.
I was just going to ask a question about the relationship between the common doctrine and the modern doctrine about the relative position of the Tathagata.
Cool.
I can understand. That's earlier.
Are you saying like the 10th canto is the cream of the cream?
Yeah. No. Well, see, the Bhya Bhagavatamrita comes to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam in both parts. It comes to Vrindavan. And then it gives the essence, even, of the 10th canto in elaborating in a very sweet way the relationships and emotional exchanges and things that go on, the fact that there are even things, exchanges that go on in Vrindavan. So in that sense, it even essentializes that essential part of the Bhagavatam. The third little preview of coming attraction. Third part, particularly the seventh chapter, the second part of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Maharaj Pariksit finally comes to the point of explaining everything to his mother, Uttara. And the story of Gopakumar is finished, and Gopakumar has come to Goloka Vrindavan and revealed all these things about Goloka Vrindavan to his disciple and enlightened his disciple and given him the same stage of spiritual perfection. And then Pariksit Maharaj realizes that the story is coming to an end and he's soon going to leave, because this is before he was bitten by the snake bird, and he becomes an anxiety, feeling separation from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita itself. And so he begins to spontaneously quote, chant different verses from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. These verses in total are called the Rasayan section of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And what they consist of is different verses from the 10th canto in which the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, glorify the other residents of Vrindavan, beginning from the clouds on down to themselves and Srimati Radharani. Each level of devotee, category of devotee, they're all, you know, from the clouds to the trees to the cows to the, you know, even the bodies of water and finally to the, you know, cowherd boys and the Madhya Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and their associates, and then finally to the gopis. And in each commentary, Sanatana Goswami elaborates. I don't know how to explain to you. You'll have to get the book and read it. But he gives many, many, many alternative ways of looking at each and every verse in such a way that our material conceptions about the spiritual world are just vanquished, because sometimes devotees think, when they read a translation of a particular passage or a particular pastime, and then they read another, the same pastime in another book, and it's not just the same, then they start to question and begin to doubt whether this is actually bona fide or whether this is actually correct. And you realize when you read this part of the Bhagavatamrita, you realize that even one thing may be going on, but when different devotees look at it, they see something different. And then when they explain it and glorify it and give their realization, it's a little different. So in this way, the unlimited nature of the spiritual world is revealed in a very, very marvelous way. So in that sense, I would say, yeah, it's actually even the essence of the 10th canto.
So the presentation in the Bhagavatam is very, very systematic. In the Bhagavatamrita is very systematic, even more systematic than the Bhagavatam. It's drawing from the conclusions of the Bhagavatam, but organized by Sanatana Goswami, show the different levels of devotion that are available, and at each level of devotion there's something that's missing from the consciousness, and they point to, for instance, to someone on a higher level who has what they have plus something more. So in that way we're seeing the different stages of devotion ending in the conclusion, which is in Vraja.
Correct.
Very systematically presented.
Now listen to this.
Carefully.
Because Nam Sankirtan invariably leads to the treasure of pure love for the Lord, true connoisseurs of devotional service consider Nam Sankirtan the very fruit of bhakti. Commentary. According to many pure devotees, let's finish the commentary. According to many pure devotees, Nam Sankirtan.
Please go ahead.
I'm trying. According to many pure devotees, Nam Sankirtan is not only the best means of devotional service, but the final perfection itself.
This is means at the end.
Yeah. Of course. Prema is the final goal of bhakti, but Nam Sankirtan so quickly and infallibly leads to prema that the two are considered virtually identical. Wherever prema is seen to have developed, one can presume that Nam Sankirtan must have been performed. Nam Sankirtan is the necessary and sufficient cause of prema.
When you explain the use of necessary and sufficient, then go ahead.
Earlier, it was described that the essential prerequisite for attaining prema is dānya, which is utter, translated as utter humility. And because the name of Krishna, as described by Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī, Krishna Purna Bapushe Namo Namaha, the holy name, this is in Namastika of Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī, eight prayers glorifying the holy name. Krishna Purna Bapushe Namo Namaha means that the name of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, is the most complete form of Krishna. So when one actually chants Hare Krishna, Krishna is present, as Lord Gentle Guru was speaking last night, and one can realize, or one realizes his position in relationship to Krishna and becomes utterly humble. And then Sanatana Goswami goes on to explain that this same relationship here, given between Sankirtan and Prema, actually, the same relationship is between Prema and Danya. They're considered to be actually the same, because there's so much, the relationship is so intertwined, one causes the other, and vice versa, that they're considered identical. So therefore it says that Nam Sankirtan, which brings that Danya, is the necessary and sufficient cause of Prema. Because the only thing that's needed to get Prema is sincerity, complete sincerity. When one is completely sincere, that means he has no other ulterior motives in chanting except pleasing Krishna. Then he gets Krishna Prema. So he gets Krishna Prema and Danya and Nam Sankirtan. It's all so interlinked that they're considered by the acharyas to be the same. Therefore, if anybody's claiming to be on some higher position or giving the higher position or the source of, or the channel through which, and not exhibiting Danya, then you can understand. You should be reserved. You should be careful.
Can I say something really simple about necessary and sufficient?
Please.
That it's necessary, as the verse said, that one can attain prema without chanting Nam Sankirtan, and it's sufficient because if one takes shelter of the holy names, one doesn't need anything else.
Sufficient
in and of itself.
Can I read a little from?
Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, this is Mahaprabhu talking, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service, which is just what he said, by chanting the holy name. And here is one paragraph, the final paragraph in Prabhupada's purport. Srila Jiva Goswami states in his book Bhakti Sandarbha, Yadyapi Anya Bhakti Kalao Kartavya Tara Kirtan Akya Bhakti Sam Yoganaiva. Out of the 9 processes of devotional service, Kirtan is very important. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore instructs that the other processes, such as Archana, Vandana, Dasya, and Sakya, all the other things that are done in devotional service should be executed, but they must be preceded and followed by kirtan, the chanting of the holy name. We have therefore introduced this system in all of our sentences. Prabhupada says, archana, arti, boga offering, deity dressing and decoration are all preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In 1975, when Srila Prabhupada was conducting the installation and opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, he had arranged all the different Goswami groups in Vrindavan in different Jagyastalas. You remember the courtyard had all these different Jagyastalas, and in each one of them, the priest from that particular temple was there doing the installation. And then he instructed us to have a Nagar Sankirtan. So the Nagar Sankirtan went on, you know, walking through all, you know, through everything, throughout the whole sacrifice throughout the whole day while this was going on. And afterwards, when devotees questioned Srila Prabhupada, why did he do that? He said, if I wouldn't have had each one of them perform the installation, none of them would have accepted that the deities were installed. That's the level of preaching in Vrindavan. He had to do that, otherwise they just wouldn't have. There would be no question of preaching in Vrindavan from that. And then he said, but actually, the deities were installed, or the deities appeared in response to our Nagar Sankirtan.
You just read?
Yes. And now I want to make one more point. Can I? Permission?
All
right. You're itching your... Well,
it's just a mark of sincerity. Okay. Your response.
You know, my realization, having edited this book, along with Gopi Pranabhana and Jayadvaita Maharaj, is that the commentaries are so transparent to Srila Prabhupada's words, as we're seeing now. See, we're linking Prabhupada's purports to these purports. They're so intimately linked and transparent that we can actually see how Srila Prabhupada was actually preaching exactly what the six Goswamis were preaching. And there are people right now who say that they're representing the six Goswamis and are saying things in a little different way, in a way that it doesn't illuminate and make clear in the same way that I have felt and experienced these commentaries illuminate the verses and the actual will and siddhanta that the Goswamis are giving. That was my contribution on that point.
Another one?
Please.
Because there was that purport with how the holy names give all sense, all pleasure to the senses. Remember that?
Yeah.
We talked
about
that?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri, one day he went to see Thakur Haridas and Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was staying with Thakur Haridas when he was there. And Rupa Goswami was writing a book. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, he said, "What kind of book are you writing?" And he held up the patra that he was writing. And when he saw Rupa Goswami's handwriting, he became very happy, and he said, "The handwriting of Rupa Goswami is just like rows of pearls." That brought him so much happiness. But when he was reading the manuscript, and he came to one specific verse that Rupa Goswami wrote, he became overwhelmed with ecstatic love by reading this verse, which is which really describes how the holy name brings so much the effect of actual chanting of the holy name. And here is the verse. Rupa Goswami has written, and Mahaprabhu has become ecstatic while hearing it, or reading it. "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna has produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. It appears to dance within the mouth, and then we desire many, many mouths. And when that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert." Big samadhi.
Yeah. Now, following from that,
yes,
if you can follow that, if anything, text 166. "According to some knowers of rasa, the real sign of a person full of prema is this. As he performs sankirtan of the name he worships, the full force of spiritual agony erupts in him by the weight of his own love. Digdarshini commentary. Other expert Vaishnavas consider Sankirtan and Prema to be altogether the same. They are mutually the cause of one another and are therefore non-different. Text 167. This is such beautiful, I have to read the Sanskrit. Nam nam tu sankirtanam artibhadam mekhan vina pravrishi chatrikanam ratrao viyoga sapatera tangi bhargasya chakro shanabhatpatihi. Like the distressed crying of the chatrika birds on a cloudless day of the rainy season, or the lamenting of a flock of Chakravati birds when parted from their husbands at night, the Sankirtan of the Lord's name arises when one is burdened by too much pain. Commentary. Nam Sankirtan, in fact, appears only when prema has been enhanced in a special way. Prema enriched with transcendental hankering results in Sankirtan. To help us understand, the Vaikuntha Dutas mentioned, by way of analogy, the Chatika and Chakravaki birds. The plaintive call of the Chatikas, sounding like Priya, Priya, my dear one, resounds on cloudless days of the rainy season. And the lament of the Chakravakis fills the sky when their husbands are absent at night. In such a way, Nam Sankirtan arises when one feels separation from the Lord in pure love of God. The true way of doing Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan is to call out to one's beloved Lord in agony, expressing one's feelings in various sweet songs to attract him. As the philosophical maxim states, Sitasya Lakshanam Yatsyad Sadhanam Sadhakasya Tat. The practitioner and the means of practice should be in accord with their goal. Vichitra Lila Rasa Sagadasya Prabhur Vichitra Spura Tat Prasada Vichitra Sankirtana Madhurisa Natu Svajatna Iti Sadhu Siddhyet. The wonderfully varied sweetness of Sankirtan emerges only by the mercy shown in various wonderful ways by the Lord, the wonderful ocean of the varied rasas of pastimes. This sweetness one can never truly achieve by one's own endeavor. Commentary. The devotees who prefer meditation to Sankirtan might argue that chanting in full view of the public is risky in several ways. Envious people may try to interfere. One may succumb to the allurement of popularity. One may not have the required physical strength. Or one may be too sick to chant properly. These dangers do not arise when a devotee simply concentrates on the Supreme Lord in a secluded place. In answer to this objection, the Vaikuntha messengers say that Nam Sankirtan cannot be disrupted by our obstacles, for it develops by the mercy of the Lord, not by one's own endeavor. No one can take away that which a devotee has gained as a gift from the Lord. This is true not only for Sankirtan, but for all the nine methods of bhakti. Yeah. Sure.
When you just mentioned about chanting in a secluded place, Lara's Thakur came to mind. Of course, he was special. The situation was special.
Well, this isn't talking about chanting in a secluded place. This is talking about meditation in a secluded place. Nam Sankirtan can be done in a secluded place or in the company of others. It's differentiating between the secluded meditation and the process of calling out the Lord's name out loud. Sankirtan can be done in congregation, or it can be done by oneself. That's why in the previous verse it says that as a result of the Sankirtan process, that sometimes one may feel things and may say or do things that are embarrassing, even when there's no witnesses. So the truest definition of Sankirtan is the external, the out loud glorification of the Lord's holy name.
Does japa fits into this or not?
Yes, if you chant out loud.
You mean not just mantra?
Yes.
Even if it's softly?
Yes.
How did the ISKCON slant of the word Sankirtan?
You mean selling paintings?
Juggernaut pictures. Well, it comes from it comes from the idea. It started from the idea that it started out from the idea that we're going out and doing an activity that is connected with the propagation of the holy name, the glorification of Krishna. Yeah. But then, of course, it became something else. And then, now everyone knows it's like, that's old news. You know? It's like turning on a news station that's giving you like 2 years ago news. You just turn it off. You know? I think most everyone still around. It's kind of come to that understanding.
That's not in the early days of the movement, we'd say we're going on Sankirtan and it meant chanting Hare Krishna. And then they actually made a distinction in the ISKCON terminology between Harinam and Sankirtan.
Yeah.
So I used to say that I'm so old that I remember when Sankirtan meant chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
But now it's cleared.
Yeah.
It's cleared in the society. That's no longer the same issue. And I also used to get insulted if selling things was Sankirtan, because it supports the Sankirtan movement, why only selling things is supporting? Why isn't cooking Sankirtan? And why isn't teaching Sankirtan? And why isn't digging in the garden Sankirtan? You brought up a sensitive topic.
No, I don't
think it's good for the next for our.
Oh, this is very good. No, this is very good. I would say that it's both. That all those things he just said are Sankirtan.
But then there's no meaning to the term unless it...
But I said both.
Yeah.
You didn't let me. You jumped on me. You jumped on me. That means you're sensitive on the point that you're right. But at the same time, because of what we said yesterday, that if they're not accompanied, what Maharaj read, the verse, if they're not accompanied by the chanting of the holy name before and after, then they become something else. And that was the fault.
You know? But still, in terms of Srila Prabhupada's terminology,
yeah.
Yes, we began just by going on the streets and chanting Hare Krishna, and that was thank you. Then Srila Prabhupada introduced book distribution. And the devotees were, you know, absorbed in the mood of Sankirtan, because Prabhupada had preached so much about the importance of Sankirtan, like he wrote to us in the Boston Temple, that you can close the temple to go out on Sankirtan.
Yeah.
Close it for some time. But then to encourage the devotees that were distributing books, that what they were doing was also Sankirtan. He explained that Sankirtan means glorification, and because the books contain glorification of the Lord, distributing the books is also Sankirtan, because it spreads the glories of the Lord. But as far as other types of business to support the Sankirtan movement, like selling incense and other spiritual scents and products, Srila Prabhupada never referred to selling them as Sankirtan. He always referred to those activities as doing business, the profit of which was used to support the Sankirtan movement.
Correct.
And I think that's
a fair distinction.
Yeah.
But did he refer to life membership enrollment as?
He didn't call it Sankirtan or business. He called it transcendental fraud.
He said that?
Yeah, but in the beginning, he also accompanied it with book distribution.
That's what Tejas is going on about.
Yes, yes.
Prabhupada's purpose of the life membership was to distribute books, and half the money was going to be saved and put in an account for the life members, and then that account would be used to give them books.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, what you say is true. Prabhupada did say transcendental fraud, and because he was sort of asking for a one-word answer, so I said transcendental fraud. But Srila Prabhupada did say that his idea behind the life membership program was to distribute his books.
Yeah.
And it's true that he wanted...
Yeah. Huh?
Can I go down a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Well, because Srila Prabhupada said distributing books was also Sankirtan, just like chanting Hare Krishna. So to distinguish the chanting type of Sankirtan, we began to say Harinam Sankirtan. But in India, going out on the streets and chanting is called Nagar Sankirtan. It's like a common phrase in India.
And you see that in so many places, not only this kind of devotees, they go out in the village, not in the village, in the part of the town.
Yeah.
Devotees will go and just chant Krishna's names early in the morning before they go to work, and just go outside and chanting.
Only because there's an audience here that doesn't hear this. This is something about the use of the word karma. You're talking about this and others.
Well, the only thing I would mention here.
Not here to the
wrong. Yeah. I mean, yes, karma has a technical meaning. But the caution that Srila Prabhupada gave to us was that we should not use the word karma much, because if we do, we'll feel superior to them. And he didn't want us to feel superior.
Good. May I read the next verse? Or am I off track?
Let's see.
I'm asking. I'm not looking at anything, but I'm...
Hey, Maharaj,
eat a little bit.
Well, I think if there are questions and comments.
I wanted to say something, but a little bit, just to go back a step. It's not directly on the subject, but it's interesting. We're talking about Sankirtan. There's a story in Gaudiya Math. Someone had collected, either they were collecting money or collecting Buddha money. This person had collected a lot, so probably money. So when he came back, Srinivasa said, I'm sorry, Sati Thakur saw that he had collected a lot, and he was curious. It was more than normal, so he was curious, how did you collect it? So he said that he had gone to some, I guess, perhaps wealthy person, the wife was home, and he flattered her. And because he flattered her, she gave. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, so did you preach any Hari Katha? And he said, no, I didn't. He said, then your donation is contaminated. Because whenever you collect something but you don't preach Hari Katha, then it's contaminated. You know that story? Did I tell it right? Do you want to say something?
Yeah.
Preaching is the essence, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada said, without, what does preaching mean? It means Hari Katha. And without preaching, Prabhupada said, the entire institution becomes, you don't know what word he used? It's a very strong word.
Rubbish.
He also said burden. There was another time he said burden. I have the experience, the personal experience of having been on the first BBT book distribution party. And the way we started distributing books was that we would take the book and we would preach about the book, the value of the book, and we would convince each person we met to take the book. On the value of the book. And I have personal realization that when some other techniques started to enter in order to get the numbers higher and higher, which Prabhupada was very happy with, by the way, the numbers. It pleased him a lot when the numbers went really high. You know, that's when kind of things started to get complicated. You know what I mean? And now we're seeing that it's kind of, by force of circumstance, coming back to the point where devotees are going out. And like you talked to Vaishasika, and he's probably the most empowered book distributor on the planet right now. You know, he can be in that same airport that we used to run around in, and when the change of techniques came about, and, you know, we had different colored wigs and different, I mean, we were doing a whole thing. And he can sit behind. This shows you what real empowered preaching can be. He can sit behind a table where he's not allowed to move out from out of the table. And just like that, he can attract people over and preach them directly in the book. And he can sell more books, you know, and collect more lakshmi per day in 3 hours than most of the big book distributors used to do by doing any kind of technique in a whole day.
Gopal Vrindapal once told me a story that he was a very successful, Gopal Vrindapal was a very successful book distributor. What year?
Probably 73 up to, probably 15th in my 70s.
So he told me that he wrote Prabhupada a letter and suggested that he travel from temple to temple and teach the devotees the techniques, how to distribute books, you know, all the different lines or whatever. And Prabhupada replied that, no, don't go and teach the devotees techniques, but teach them, you can go from temple to temple, but teach them how to be sincere. And from in their hearts, Krishna will then teach them the techniques.
Good.
So again, sincerity is the essence.
Yeah.
When what does sincerity mean? It means that it is Krishna.
Can I go back a little to what you were saying?
Yeah.
I think my experience is a little different than yours, because I was
We used to go out in the Volkswagen with Dan. No, not Dan, a bug. We used to drive out in a Volkswagen bug when you came up to San Francisco. Yeah, the two of us. Before that party came.
I was first coming around 1969, and then in January of 70 I joined. So I was even doing Sankirtan before I joined.
Yeah.
And
how is that possible?
Because I was going to school in Berkeley, and every Titsugananda would see me. He would call me over. He wouldn't let me, because the Harinam party was right at the entrance of the school. So I lived on that side. I had to go through there. He would just grab me. And of course, there were many. I happened to be living with four people who were all friends with Hridayananda Maharaj. And they would meet him on the street, and he would speak about what he was telling them. But in those days, as we would do book distribution, it evolved from distributing books to the Harinam party to distributing books door to door in Los Angeles. That was I have to tell this history because it's not explained correctly in the Lilamrita. It's wrong.
I see.
What happened was, about 1970, a devotee from San Francisco came to Vancouver. I was there and I was temple president. And his whole motto was, do something big for Krishna. His name was Tucker Hargis. I don't know if you know him.
Tall.
You know, very Jewish and very New Yorkish.
That appears to be a racist comment, by the way.
And geographical also, nonetheless.
No, very hot. Very favorable. And he had his eyes on the moon. But like 3 or 4 days before he had come, We in every temple were only distributing books on the street, and we got inspired once and redistributed little paperback books which cost 50 cents. And we were telling the temple in Seattle you could do this, and I didn't believe that we could sell a book for 50 cents because we would only get 25 cents for BTG. So just to put you in perspective,
right.
Nobody believed you could sell a 50 cent book on the street, that anyone right. would give you that much money,
right.
at least consistently.
Right.
So prior to his coming, about the week before, I was thinking we should sell Krishna books, which was totally outrageous. That it, you know, it'd be like saying, go out with a set of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamrita to Walmart and sell them. It was like that.
I used to do that. 1972.
Well, let me tell you why you're doing it. Because you don't know why you're doing it, because the history is not straight. Maybe you know, but I don't think anybody knows this. So Taka Haridas, I gave him this idea. I said, why don't we sell Krishna books? And he took it to heart. So what happened was, there was no traveling sankirtan except one party had gone out just for a short period of time, led by Gaur Hari, who had also come from San Francisco. So now, we got very inspired, the Taka Haridas here, for us to go out on traveling sankirtan. And this was to really be the first book distribution party. And Prabhupada had just written a letter, and he said, anyone who will go travel, without considering how he'll eat, how he'll sleep, how he'll live, I'll take the dust from his feet and put it on my head. We got that letter. That was it.
Yeah.
We threw books in the van, took $5 from the treasurer, in the middle of the winter, we were off to Canada. With enough gas to get to the next town. got to the next town, 8 o'clock at night, there was no one on the street.
Oh, the gas station story. That was you.
No, that was another one. We got on the street, or whatever the next town was from Vancouver. We got on the street, there was nobody there. We did Harinam, because that's all we knew what to do up to that point. We just did Harinam. Thakur Haridas gets out his Krishna book. He's some drunk, you know, we're doing Harinam. There were $8. $8 was the price that was. No, $5 for it was $8. $8 in 1970 was what?
A lot of money.
Like $40 now?
Yeah.
So, somehow or other, he got the equivalent of $40 off some drunk. We couldn't believe it. So, there was a fire going. We went to the local, whatever shelter, YMCA, and that's where we slept. They gave us some fruit. We were out door to door. We didn't have any pots. We were begging for pots. This was the mood. We had nothing. Could you give a pot? Could you give rice? Could you give dal? Thakaridas sold his, while we were begging for pots, he sold his Krishna book. We couldn't believe it. It was just we couldn't understand what's going on. We went to the next city. He got so inspired. While we were getting dressed to go out, he would get ready before us and he would go out and he would come back and he'd already sold a Krishna book. And we would say, what did you tell them? And he'd say, I told them I was in ecstasy. He had to take his book. And he was in ecstasy because it was a very intoxicating experience.
Oh yeah, big time.
And then he finally got me going. And when I sold my first book, we were going house to house. And we would all meet at the van at a certain time. And the experience was so ecstatic, I got lost on the way back to the van. I was just delirious. It was like that, because we didn't think we could do it.
Yeah.
So we were watching him do this. Maybe it was 1971. We were watching him do this, and then it became contagious. So in 1971, I remember this, because I was in the kitchen. He called Keshava.
Right.
In San Francisco, and Keshava said, we're out on the road, we're filling our van with BTGs, we don't come back till we sell the BTGs. And Keshava said, big deal. Get Krishna books. We're selling Krishna books. And it was like really, really heavy. Really, really heavy. He was the one, with that phone conversation, inspired Keshava to do Krishna books. But the history in the Lilamrita is that it all started with Keshava. It actually started with Thakur Haridas, who somehow or other, I got this idea in his mind, which I know I couldn't do it myself.
So you started it.
No wonder your
name is Mahatma.
So, we were actually in Edmonton. He was in Edmonton. We were staying at a house of some people. We turned their house into a temple. And it was such an inspiration. And Ganapati Maharaj came there. He became a devotee there. Very inspired event. But I remember, particularly remember that conversation. You know, Thakur Haridas was a very heavy person, and he convinced Keshava. And that's when that whole fever started with San Francisco and L.A. It was all actually from
Jayananda. When I first came, I was married, right? And Jayananda, and I didn't exactly know how I was going to get it together, you know. So Jayananda, who had driven a taxi cab, and practically, you know, like, supported the temple on his earnings, because there wasn't much of a temple then. He suggested that maybe I could drive a taxi. So he had a connection or something. So,
yeah.
Jayananda?
Taxi?
Say that again.
You
drove a taxi,
that's
what you're saying?
No, that Jayananda drove a taxi.
Oh, okay.
You didn't know that Jayananda drove a taxi? You're wondering whether I could drive a taxi?
Yeah.
No, he's just trying to belittle me. This is his program. Whenever I say this, he has to do this. It's his nature. He can't help it. The scorpion, you know, the camel. So you know, I started driving taxi cabs, and Jayananda.
What did I say?
When it comes down to it.
What did I say?
When it comes down to it.
It was the Saffron Cab Company.
I'm trying, you know, but the peanut gallery over here on this bench, you know, we call this the peanut gallery. They're trying to cheapen whatever, what can I do at a time like this? I just keep going, okay, undaunted. So, Jayananda would, you know, take the maha plate. There were three plates in the morning, right, on the altar. And he would take the full plate. That means sweet rice, sandesh, and burfi. That was the morning offering at that time in San Francisco, 1972. And he would give that to me, the whole plate. I would come to Mangalarti, and then I would take that plate, and I would go out, and I would sit at the first hotel, you know, you sit and wait to get a ride to the airport. That was the cab drivers, where they try to get the ride to the airport, because it's the biggest fare. And I would eat that whole plate of Mahaprasada, waiting as I was going up to get the first ride. By the time I got there, I couldn't help but think of it, because when you said you were intoxicated, I was so intoxicated, I couldn't even see straight. I was seeing little colored balls floating in the air.
Glorious beginnings of a Hare Krishna movement.
So then I had a Gita with me, right? And I was so intoxicated, and I left the Gita in the seat. So then, you know, the passenger came in and would almost have to sit on it. Then he pulled this Gita out, and he said, "Is this yours?" And I looked at him and I said, "Well," then I said, "Yeah." So then I would talk to him all the way out to the airport about the Gita, and then I would give him, then he would give me his fare, and then he'd give me a tip because he really got intoxicated by the talk, and then I'd give him the Gita. So then, I picked up on very soon. I only drank the Patsy for about 2 weeks, you know, because then I realized, hey, you know, I can sell books, you know. So then I started. Then though, was this before or after? Anyway, I don't remember whether this was before or after. But the first six volumes of the Bhagavatam came out. Remember that first volume, all the different colors, right? I don't remember what it was before or after. But I used to take, so then me and Vijitatma, you remember Vijitatma? We used to go out in this little Volkswagen van and I would take, you know, two sets of Bhagavatam. Right from the beginning I was doing this. I never went out on I did the Fisherman's Roar for a while with incense and magazines, but I got bored with that real quick, you know. So then I would go out and I would line up the Bhagavatams in the back seat, like this, like volume 1 to volume 6. And then I would just go out into the parking lot and look for somebody who, you know, that I thought may be impressed. And I would talk to them and I'd bring them back to the van and I'd have this kind of like ceremony, not ceremony, but kind of like a, you know, thing I would say and then, "Are you ready for this?" And I'd open the door. It was like the curtains opening of the deities, you know. And they would go, "Wow."
Yeah. And then, this was the 60s or the 70s?
70s. Early 70s. Not long after the 60s. And then they would give, and I would find one or two people a day in 1972 to take a set. At that time it was only six books. But
it reminded me of another story. This is really nice.
Go ahead.
We were in Vancouver. Myself, Sridhar Maharaj, who was not post sannyasi then, probably 1970, 71, two or three other devotees at this time. There was a strike, bus strike in the city. So all these people, used the buses, were standing around. I said, "Hey." And all these students had to go to the university. I said, "Well, hey, let's just take the route to the university, pick everybody up because they're all hitchhiking. They would give them prasad and have kirtan and preach to them on the way there and the way back." So I was a driver. Sridhar Maharaj was the speaker, and we had another devotee distributing prasadam.
And they get on the bus, they didn't know, you know, it was a van, but we had seats in it. And it felt like Nanda, so they didn't know. Get the prasadam, he'd speak the whole way there. And, you know, they get out, and thanks for the talk, thanks for the book. Like that was it.
Yeah, do you remember the gas war in 1972 or 73?
Yeah, this is proving that chanting the holy names, which we started glorifying, no different from Sankirtan.
Book distribution. Yeah. Remember the gas wars? The first gas wars that came up, there were lines, like, I mean, literally miles long to get into the gas stations. And, you know, we all picked up on it all at the same time, and we would just distribute books. And they were just sitting there. They didn't have anything to do. It was, like, perfect. Now, I wanted to say something to bring it down to, like, present day, so that we're just not nostalgic.
Can I say one thing? Because I'm going to
Yeah, sure.
The word John was saying about Gopavinda Pal and Prabhupada and every man's his own, actually Prabhupada said every man's his own genius. That's what he called
it. Yeah.
So I had a very interesting experience in Mayapur at these Sankirtan seminars. You'd have these devotees from all over the world and they're telling you all their lines, which happen to be the same lines that you use, but you've never talked
about. Exactly.
The same Krishna in the heart. And
Well,
we say this, we do this, we didn't say, wait a minute, that's exactly what we say.
Exactly. Tripurari and I had the same experience when he came up to San Francisco for the first time. You know, we were competing, and we, you know, compared notes, and we were saying almost exactly the same. It was amazing.
Yeah, it is. And you're, you know, talking Japanese devotees,
devotees
from Brazil, and, you know, Alaska, wherever, Russia, you know, say all the same thing.
Now, to bring it down to today, Hari Bol, are we on the same page? Or did you think? Okay, we're on the same page. Vaisheshika, who is the one of us who has continued to do this for 30 or more than 30 years, who is so expert and so empowered, has come up with an idea for how we can revitalize book distribution properly in America. And he's calling it the Weekend Warrior Program. Weekend Warriors.
Wow.
Yes, and it's working. It's actually happening. Where you go out and you get it, you know, there are places that allow you to put a book table in front of their store. Many, many people, many by law, actually, they have to allow you or something. And he just finds places and he goes out with either a younger devotee or an older devotee who used to distribute books and then for various reasons we were joking about before, stopped. And they're beginning to distribute books just for 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week. And it's starting to catch fire again. Even the older devotees are starting to catch that fire, that ecstasy that you're talking about, that intoxication that comes from actually distributing a book, giving Srila Prabhupada, giving Krishna to someone else, and getting them to reciprocate. So I told glorifying Krishna. So I told Vaisheshika that I was going to give him a contact for here, and that he can come here regularly, and he will come here regularly. Anybody who knows him and has been around him, he is like not in this world. He's like in another plane of existence, Vaisheshika, of enthusiasm and empowerment. So that will be one little contribution I will make to this yatra. Stay tuned for coming events.
Not only that, he's also a nice person.
Oh, he is.
He's a regular person, really.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, super. Super nice. He has such enthusiasm. During that time in the movement when everybody got a little confused and kind of people were kind of trying to find their niche and everything, what he did was he went back to school. He got his bachelor's degree in English, actually. Yeah, at San Francisco State University. At the same time, he had just gotten married and they established their household. At the same time, he's doing this all simultaneously. At the same time, he went out on Sankirtan, San Francisco Airport, every single day, without missing a day, and did $500 a day, doing straight books, preaching straight on the book, in 2 or 3 hours, every day. And that's the way he was maintaining himself. And at the same time, he developed this business, this multi-pure business, multi-tiered, multi-tiered, well, and he developed his business, and he became so good at it that he was doing the sankirtan, firing up the sankirtan, the water pure people, you know, and using the same techniques. And now he has so many people distributing on his behalf that he gets a commission from whatever they distribute. In fact, he doesn't have to do anything. So he did this all, and at the same time kept a preaching program in his home with Didi. I mean, he's just like a very special person. There it went. Did you see that? That was time.
I missed it.
I just said, see, there you go. You didn't keep your hands off. Okay. Who's going to chant?
I have one short anecdote about the pronunciation of the Panchatattva mantra. Madhavananda Prabhu told me the story that he was asked to lead kirtan in front of Srila Prabhupada, and it was the first time he ever led kirtan in front of Srila Prabhupada. So afterwards, Srila Prabhupada called him close and said, "You sang very nicely, I very much appreciate it. Your kirtan. But one thing that the name of the fourth member of the Panchatattva is Gadadhar. And I don't know what tune he sang, but there are certain tunes, like when you led last night, you were pronouncing the name right, but everyone else was saying Gadadhara, which is what Madhavananda had said, and Prabhupada said, it's not Gadadhara, it's Gadadhara.
Yes.
So, small little anecdote. Have you decided who's leading the kirtan? Oh, I was giving you...
Anecdote.
Yeah, giving you time to...
Please. He does in sankirtan.
Sankirtan. Not sankirtan. Sankirtan. Right? Not by not by the sankirtan, by
Thank you. Thank you. Prasad Paramahan Kupari Bhagavad 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 Kupari Ananta Kodi Vaishnavindi, Mahacharya Kulahi Dastasai, Yuktanathan Bhatta Vadanasi, Gopala Vadadasa Vadanasat Prasai, Prince of the Holy Spirit, Chaitanya Kumunitana,
Shri Radha Krishna Gopavati Nasham, Shri Radha Kund, Giri Gopadam,
Shri
Vrindavan Dham,
Shri
Maya Punyavati Dham, Jagannathpuri Dham, Gangamayi Jamunamayi, Shrimati Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi, O Premanandi, Shri Harinam Sankirtan, Shri Hatli Dandati, Shri Prabhupada's 10th little book distribution, 10th little Mahaprasad distribution, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindati, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru.
All glories, all glories.
They ran out, but I was going to ask Maharaj. Because tomorrow night we're going to have the program in the temple room. Yeah, tomorrow night the program will be in the temple room. And it will be, please be there because it's going to be Leela Kirtan done in a very, very special way. It's changed tomorrow night.
There's also cake and drink downstairs for everyone.
Ah.
Go to Mark. After the Kirtan, do they say, see who is you cannot go to him?
Who says that?
That should be spread all over the country. That should be.